We have looked at the world's religions. We've looked at Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. We've examined prominent cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Freemasonry. And if I were to go into all of the cults that exist, I could do a study that would take us months, if not years, to go through all the isms and schisms and variety of false thoughts that are out there. So I touched on the main ones for you. What I want to do over the next few weeks is talk about some things that they don't necessarily fall into the category of a world religion. They don't necessarily fall into the category, per se, of a cult, but they do fall under a category that actually influences the church at times, is of great deception, and is something that we need to be very careful of. And what I am going to be talking about is the occult. Somebody give me a definition of a cult? Anyone? All right. We'll throw that aspect. Satan worshipers. What else you got? What's that? Kool-Aid. Did you say Kool-Aid? You're a sick man. Yeah, Mark?
Psychics.
Dina?
I think that they do, in a sense, worship Satan, but I don't always think that they realize.
Okay.
That they're doing it as well.
Let's put unaware, maybe, at times. Sure. Okay, what else? What else can you tell me about the occult? How about the word itself? Does anybody know what that the word itself means? It has to do with the idea of that which is hidden. Or secret. Secret knowledge. The Masons have some occultic influences in their rituals. The Mormons, there are, if you look at Joseph Smith and how he had these special seeing stones and how he interpreted things through these seeing stones, those were occultic practices. So Mormonism has at its foundation some occultic influence. Any other examples or definitions that you can give me of the occult? Witchcraft, absolutely, sure. Sure, what else? Anything come to mind? I'm not going to touch on, again, I'm not going to hit every single occultic practice. We would go on and on and on, but what I do want to talk about over the next few weeks is some of the ones that do have direct influence, that have influenced Christians. And there are Christians who get tripped up by these things and get deceived and think, and I would say with Dina, they're unaware that what they're doing has any demonic influence. I don't think necessarily they get hooked into it because they think this is an evil thing I'm getting involved in. However, that being said, I want to look at some of those practices. And this morning, it was funny because I was going to, in this sermon, I was going to talk about two things. And then what happens is the actual writing of the sermon, and I only have time to talk about one of those things, which means next week we'll be talking about Reiki. A type of healing practice that people refer to and that Christians have considered as well. We'll talk about that next week. This morning we're going to talk about astrology. And what I talk about, and understand that if I'm talking about something and you are a Christian who's been influenced by these things, or maybe you feel convicted, say, oh my gosh, I'm there. This is not a sermon to beat up on you. This is a sermon to let you know of the danger that's out there. And if you say, boy, I think I've kind of stumbled into this, we have a loving Savior who forgives us of all sin. And so we're able to come and say, Lord, I'm stuck in this. Can you help me? Forgive me. And let's walk in the light as He is in the light. All right. Now, this discussion this morning is going to be a very serious one, and yet I want to begin with some words from another spiritual leader, Mr. Alfred Matthew Yankovic, who wrote a song called "That's Your Horoscope for Today." Now, I'm not going to read all the lyrics. Aquarius, there's travel in your future when your tongue freezes to the back of a speeding bus. Fill that void in your pathetic life by playing whack-a-mole 17 hours a day. Pisces, try to avoid any Virgos or Leos with the Ebola virus. You are the true lord of the dance, no matter what those idiots at work say. Taurus, you will never find true happiness. What you gonna do, cry about it? The stars predict tomorrow you'll wake up, do a bunch of stuff, then go back to sleep. That's your horoscope for today. And if you, in your spare time, would like to listen to the rest of that, listen to the whole song, I'm not going to tell you that it's on my iPhone right now, but it's on my iPhone right now. Oh, there, I told you. Okay. Well, anyway, it is a great song. It is hilarious. And Mark Nolte knows all the lyrics. That's not surprising. And I think he knows all the lyrics to Albuquerque, a roughly 12-minute Weird Al song, which is of absolutely no spiritual significance whatsoever. So, now, I think Weird Al is a comedic genius, and he's poking fun, really, in that song. It's something that, quite honestly, is not really as funny as we might think it is. The fact is, there are many a Christian who open up the paper, check the headlines, the sports, the comics, the weather, and their horoscope for the day. And we say, what's the harm? In fact, it's right there next to Snoopy. It is, sometimes. Well, let's define some terms, and let's look at what the Bible says. First of all, astrology. What is astrology? Because that's what we're going to be talking about the rest of this sermon. Is astrology. It's certainly not to be confused with astronomy, which is a scientific study of the stars and planets and galaxies, etc. Astrology comes from the Greek astrologia, the telling of the stars. It is a form of divination that interprets the positions of the sun, moon, and planets as meaningful representations of a person's life, of an event, or of any entity that has a founding date, such as a country. We're going to talk about horoscopes. Horoscopes fall into the category of astrology, okay? And astrology also is a form of divination, okay? Divining truth or some sort of prophecy or some sort of direction from the stars. Horoscope, from the Greek horoscopos, time observer. Newspaper horoscope columns are based primarily on the interpretation of the positions of the faster moving moon and closer planets as influences on the 12 zodiac sun signs. And then, of course, zodiac, from the Greek zoion, which means animal, an imaginary belt in the heavens divided by astrologers into 12 equal divisions or signs. Now, of any of these terms, astrology, horoscopes, divination, or zodiac, I think we all know this one. You know why? Because we Americans like Chinese food. And what do? You sit down at the restaurant, and you're thinking to yourself, I ordered my hot and sour soup. I ordered the General Tso's chicken. I've already eaten all the little crunchy things, and there's no more duck sauce left because I spilled half of it, and the rest of it I ate too much of, and now it's all gone. What will I do? You're in luck. You have a placemat which has the 12 Chinese zodiac signs, right? And you can't help yourself, but you start poring over this thing intently to discover just exactly what animal you are in the Chinese zodiac, and do any of you know what sign you are in the Chinese zodiac? You are all sinners bound for a fiery eternity. Go ahead, Nick. What are you? I'm a dog. So anyway, a couple more definitions. as I mentioned earlier, the occult practices to uncover hidden meanings or use supernatural powers or contact with spirits. Divination, which I threw up here. Reading hidden meanings in natural objects and/or receiving information about one's past, present, or future through supernatural means. Examples are astrology, numerology, reading cards, reading palms, glass or still water surfaces such as a crystal mirror or lake, or reading tea leaves or hexagram patterns. The fact is, astrology seems on the surface like a very harmless practice. Again, you know, the horoscope is right there next to Snoopy. It's placed in a very, kind of a very fun, harmless spot. The Chinese zodiac gives you a few laughs as you call each other the name of their corresponding animal sign. If you'd like a example of that, from our own personal family experience at a Chinese restaurant that is not suitable for this discussion right now. That is also available at another time. What's the big deal? Well, let's look at what Scripture says, because we have some definitions here, but let's look at what Scripture says about these kinds of things. Take a look, if you would, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. That would be the third book of the Bible, Old Testament, Leviticus, big number 19, little number 26. It says, do not practice divination or sorcery. Seems to be pretty clear. Isaiah 47, and Thayer read this with such skill and precision. I sat there astounded at your excellent reading there, Mr. Redman. Listen also, really, to the kind of sarcastic, kind of biting tone here in Isaiah as he's talking basically to these who are following astrologers. Okay? He's talking to people who, instead of looking to the Lord, they're following those who are following the stars. He says in verse 12, keep on then with your magic spells. It's kind of like saying, keep on with your magic self. You know, never mind. Keep on with your bad self. Keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed, perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. Here are no coals to warm anyone. Here is no fire to sit by. That is all they can do for you. Those you have labored with and trafficked with since childhood, each of them goes on in his error. There is not one that can save you. Now, one other passage I want you to see is Jeremiah. Next book, if you're already in Isaiah, just skip ahead to the next book. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Hear what the Lord says to you, O house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. One of the things I want us to see in this whole evaluation of the occult, whether it be astrology, whether it be various types of occultic practices, there's a world value system and there's God's value system. They're not the same. And you need to hear me on that. What the world values is not what we value. What the world says is the way to find hope and direction is not the way we find it. And where you find blending of these two, you have problems. You have trouble. And Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says, do not learn this. Do not learn the ways that the world does things. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. He's saying these people are following the stars, they're following signs in the skies, and they're living lives of fear and terror. He says, do not learn how they learn things. You have a different value system. And you're to follow me, not this. So should we occasionally kind of peer into what the world's doing and kind of read our horoscope every now and again? He says, don't learn the ways of the world. Stay away from that. Follow me. The reason I want us to understand what Scripture says about these things is that there's a constant temptation to mix the world's value system with ours. We struggle with that, if we're honest, every day. The world offers us one way of doing things, and we have to fight that and say, wait a minute, that's the world's value system. That's going to get me nowhere. Nick, the Holy Spirit helped you to pick that song, "This World Has Nothing For Me, I Will Follow You." It's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Exactly. This world has nothing for us. We need to remember that. And it doesn't matter how many of your friends are following that. That's not for you, Christian. Now, we can look at the world's religions and say, thank God I don't belong to that. And we can look at the cults and say, thank God I don't belong to them. And yet, we adapt to other worldly practices that are just as destructive to our walk with Christ. The occult is something that constantly tempts the Christian. It offers hope, it offers help, but it's false hope. It offers guidance, and sometimes, you know what happens? We're a little impatient waiting for God to answer us, and so we read something, and we look at these other things. Wow, this astrologer is offering hope now. I don't got to wait for God. I can read my horoscope next to Snoopy. What's the sense of waiting for God? He's a little slow on this, you know? Or maybe God needs a little help. It boggles my mind. I've read of preachers who, if anybody ought to know better, it would be them. And tragically, a family member dies or something, and they went to a psychic to see. Actually, I think in one instance the son was lost, and they didn't know where he was, so he goes to see a psychic to try to find him. And, well, isn't that good if he finds his son? No, it's not. That's the world's system, not God's. And God is kind of particular about that. When he says in Leviticus, he doesn't leave a lot of options. He says, do not practice divination or sorcery. You can read in the Old Testament, one of the reasons, and it spells out in Scripture specifically, that King Saul had the throne removed from him was because he went and sought out a medium. That was one of the reasons listed in Scripture why the throne was taken from Saul and no longer would the kingdom pass in his family line. It was given to David outside of his family line. Why? Because he went and consulted a medium. God says, don't do it. Period. The guidance that a horoscope can give is not from the Lord. And it's not even really amusing, even though Weird Al has kind of made humor out of it. Charles Stromer, a former professional astrologer, wrote in his book, What Your Horoscope Doesn't Tell You. He says, as we look honestly at astrology, we begin to see that adherents of this system, without knowing it, are banging on the door through which communication is established with knowledgeable but yet deceptive spirit beings. He further explains that the horoscopic chart is used by the astrologer as the mediumistic point of interaction, and that without contact with spirit beings, there would be no astrological self-disclosures. Basically, what this man who now is a Christian and is formally involved in astrology said is every time you're reading that horoscope, you're reading something that has direct demonic input. It's not good. Now, maybe you're not actively desiring to engage with a demon when you check what your horoscope says right after you read Snoopy. But indirectly, that's exactly what's happening. And that's where I agree with Dina. I don't think people realize. I don't think they say, oh, I need to go do something demonic. They say, I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to do something just as, it seems as benign to them as reading the comics. And yet, it is a doorway towards something that is anything but what you want to be involved with. And think about it. No demon has your best interest at heart. none. A demon's a fallen angel. Satan is the chief of them. And think of how he is described. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He wants your destruction. So listening to something that has his inspiration isn't going to be good for you. John chapter 8, verse 44, this is Jesus' words, and he's talking to those who were claiming to be followers of God and yet weren't, but it's in that context that he says these words. But as he indicts them and says, "Your real father, you think your father is God, your father is the devil," and then he proceeds to tell them what the devil is all about. John 8, verse 44, he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan wants you to be deceived. He wants you to look to him for counsel and not to the Lord. And why does he want to do that? Because ultimately he has your destruction in mind. Interesting. If you're constantly looking at a horoscope, if you're constantly looking at what some astrologer tells you, if you're constantly looking at what sign you are and what that dictates to your life, you ultimately can be led right into bondage to whatever those signs determine for you for how your life is going to be. I want to spin this around in a very positive way. And on this particular passage, I want you to actually go ahead and please open up with me. Wonderful passage, Ephesians chapter 1. How many of you have a favorite book of the Bible? Is that allowed? Because I do. And it's Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book. Ephesians chapter 1. It's right after Galatians. Before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Now, think about astrology, think about all types of the occult, think about horoscopes, this world system, okay? It's deceptive. Its source is demonic. And it's essentially predetermined fatalism. You're doomed by whatever sign you were born under. I've actually read accounts and doing some research for this of some woman who she was just painfully hoping that her child could be born. She was already about 2 weeks late, I think, in giving birth. She wanted to wait a couple more days, if at all possible. Why? Because she wanted that child to be born under a better astrological sign. Now, what kind of bondage is that? That your life is determined on having a better sign. And for that matter, she felt pretty doomed herself because she didn't have as good of a sign. That's predetermined fatalism. It's deceptive. It's a demonic source. But what I want you to see in Ephesians is look at how God's value system is for us. in love he predestined us to be his children. Look at verse, the end of verse 4 and verse 5. Actually, we'll go ahead and do the whole verse 4 and verse 5. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. How did he predestine us? In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. In love, he adopts us as his children. How in the world's value system, following these astrologers, it's your source is predetermined and you might just be doomed. You got a bad sign, oh well. How does it work for us? In love, he predestines us to be his children in love. We are free children of God. We have, this passage tells us we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Do you realize what that just said? He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know what? It's not poor Thayer. He's a whatever sign, and the only blessings he's going to get is what that sign gets. Right? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. All of them. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't have to say, boy, I wish I got the sign that Michael got. I wish I got the sign that Dina. You know what? We all get all the same, which is everything. Abundant. Every blessing. Every blessing. How many of you did not realize you get every blessing in Christ? Same blessing that you get, the same blessings Billy Graham gets. You get the same blessings that Charles Swindoll gets. You get the same blessings that David Jeremiah gets. You get the same blessings that Nick Marara gets. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every. Got to tell you, it's pretty awesome. And it says here that he made known to us the mystery of his will. You see that? Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ. We don't have to wonder if he's ever going to tell us what our life is about. He's already given us what his will is. We find that in Christ. We don't have to consult a demon. He's given us his word. And I love what verse 10 says. It says, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Instead of following the stars, how about follow the one who spoke the stars into existence? All things in heaven and on earth, that includes the stars, are under one head, even Christ. I have no desire to know what the stars have to say. I'd much rather know what the one who made the stars has to say. And we have that. Regardless of what occultic practice it is that may tempt us, and they're out there. I've heard of people, and I read on Facebook, or you hear friends talk, and, oh, you know, I had a great time with my mother. We went into New York City, and, you know, we had a nice dinner or whatever, and we got our palms read, and it was so cool. It was fun. Those are not things to be toyed with. Those are not things for the believers to look to. And when we open ourselves up to anything like that, we are inviting a whole lot more trouble than we have any notion. We need to be careful. I want to read something to you which I found quite fascinating. Elke discovered this a number of months ago. And this is in the historical records of the Church of Hebron. Let's see where I want to pick up here. In the early 1740s, this pulpit was from around that era. It was built back then. That's referred to as the Pomeroy pulpit. He was the second pastor in this church and served here for about 50 years. No other pastor came anywhere close to that after him, but he was a godly man. And the historical record that we have on file here at the church says in the early 1740s, the Reverend Mr. Pomeroy got himself and his church into trouble of his own making. He was a close friend of George Whitefield, Anybody know George Whitfield? Very famous pastor of the Great Awakening in New England, in one of the greatest revivals in this country's ever known. And George Whitfield would come and preach in open fields, and thousands of people would come and hear him speak, which at that time was big numbers. Well, he was a close friend of George Whitfield, the great evangelist who was doing such wonderful work both in America and England. Dr. Benjamin Pomeroy caught the inspiration, thereby getting into trouble. Perhaps he was resentful that Whitfield, while preaching here, had proclaimed that Hebron was a strong, quote, stronghold of Satan, end quote. It seems that at the time there was a law which prohibited a preacher from preaching in any parish except his own without permission of the general court or the resident minister. But Mr. Pomeroy, with his independent spirit and his fighting blood, was not about to ask permission to preach the word. Zealous in the delivery of his message, he went right ahead and thus earned a punishment for transgressing the law. Despite the fact that they took away his salary for 2 years, he kept on. He was later quoted as saying, "Those 2 years were the most fruitful of my life. I went up and down the countryside, and wherever I found two men in a haystack, there I found a pulpit and a congregation." George Whitfield said about Hebron, "This is a stronghold of Satan." There's a reason I'm telling you that. You're here in Hebron. There's been demonic things that have gone on in the past here. Whitfield, a great evangelist in the Great Awakening, said, "This is a stronghold of Satan." Don't give the enemy any power in your life. If you're dabbling a little, if you're just playing a little, exploring a little, don't. Ephesians 4, 27. It's a very short verse. And it says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." Don't give him that power. Don't let him in. Don't give him any access to you. And that's one of the reason that I want to talk about astrology, I want to talk about the occult and other practices, is because those are those seemingly innocent ways that Satan starts to get a foothold. We already have a history of that in this area. We don't dare give him a foothold. And the fact is, God's wisdom and direction is so much better. His leading comes from a heart of perfect love, not deception. We need to be careful that we're not deceived. Keep yourself clean from demonic deception. And again, as I said earlier, as we talk about any of these things, you say, "Oh my goodness, I didn't even realize. I had no clue." Simply come to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me, help me, show me, and let me look and depend upon you for direction in all ways." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in comparison to what the world offers, you offer us all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. All of them. All of the blessings are for each one of us. It doesn't matter what month we were born in. It doesn't matter what standing that we have financially or in status in our society. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter what race. It doesn't matter what gender. All the spiritual blessings are available to all of us. We thank you that your way is the only way, is the truth and the life. We ask that you would keep us from deception. We ask that you would help us to be aware of those things that would try to distract us and destroy us, and help us to not give the devil a foothold in our lives. We thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your grace, your kindness, your mercy, and for your Holy Spirit that enables us and helps us to live a godly life in this world. We thank you for all of these things. In Christ's name, amen.